ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। डिसेम्बर् 1882, दक्षिणेश्वर। इन् दि आफ्टर्नून् श्रीरामकृष्ण वास् सीटेड् आन् दि वेस्ट् पोर्च् आफ् हिस् रूम् इन् दि टेम्पल् गार्डन् एट् दक्षिणेश्वर्। Among others, Baburam, Ramdayal and M were present. These three were going to spend the night with the master. M intended to stay the following day also, for he was having his Christmas holidays. Baburam had only recently begun to visit the master. Master to the devotees, a man becomes liberated even in this life, when he knows that God is the doer of all things. Once, Keshav Chandra Sen came here with Shambhu Malik. I said to him, not even a leaf moves except by the will of God. Where is man's free will? All are under the will of God. This is one subject, and beautiful, I would say, most beautiful expression of Thakur's. What was he telling? He is telling to the devotees, a person can become a Jivan Mukta. When does he become a Jivan Mukta? When he goes on practicing Neti Neti. From the Advaitic viewpoint, Neti Neti implies, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the sense organs, I have nothing to do with possessions. But the same idea has been presented to us in this beautiful manner. When a person knows that God alone is the doer of everything, and Sri Ramakrishna is reinforcing this idea. So it seems once he said to Keshav Chandra Sen and Shambhu Malik, not even a leaf moves except by the will of God. In practically every Indian language, this expression is there by the Muslims. Whenever somebody tells something, he would reply, Inshallah, the will of God. So it is said in the Bible that when Christ was to face that crucifixion, he prayed, let this cup pass from me if it is thy will. But he understood, no, the body has to go through that horrible torture. Then he said, not my will, but thy will, let thy will be done. There is no saint who would not repeat the same thing. So, we also have to practice. What is the meaning of practice? Going on like a broken gramophone record. Everything is God's will. I do not do anything. Nobody does anything. That is okay. That's not bad. But look at the present situation. Apply it to the present situation. Why is there so much of corruption, so much of evil, so much of killing and being killed? Wars had become endemic, as they say. And nowadays, because the whole fabric, that is the whole world, is connected, so everybody gets affected. If one corner of a spider's web is touched, then the entire web will be touched. It shakes, it moves. Sri Ramakrishna, in his own inimitable language, he presents it to us. Have you seen, in many places, ponds are covered with a kind of creeper with huge dark green leaves. I don't know whether somebody had made research and found out what is the use. Sometimes even rivers are clogged with these things. But Sri Ramakrishna's keen eyesight, it points out and says, you pull that creeper over the pond from any side, the whole creeper moves. So what is the idea? Idea is everything is done by the will of God. So why was this war between USA and Iran? It is God's will. Why are people dying? God's will. Why did one person become the president of America? God's will. So, what are all his thoughts? God's will. It may be astonishing. Then, do we have to keep quiet? No, the idea is that you do your best. What is outside our control? So, by thinking painful thoughts, evil thoughts, thoughts of how many people are suffering, the whole world is suffering. Am I able to do anything? We are completely helpless, as if we are bound hand and foot with terrible iron chains, sometimes golden chains also. But it appears to be, oh, is it a relief for a person whose hands and feet are bound? Oh, I am so lucky. I am so happy. I am bound by golden chains. Golden chain or iron chain, the effect is exactly the same. Someone comes and then talks sweetly to me. That is also God's will. And somebody else speaks harshly. That's what Bhagavan Krishna raises this topic again and again. This dvandva sahishnuta, forbearing, sitoshna sukha dukkeshu, manapamana yoho, sukha dukke samay kritva, labha labha jaya jayo. In every situation, we should not think this is profitable. We should not think this is a loss. What we should think, it is all God's will. And God's will always be good. That is an unshakable faith. We have to develop that Shraddha. No mother will ever do any harm to her baby. If she is administering bitter medicine to the baby, is it for the good of the baby? The baby may not understand. We are also like babies. Only Swami Vivekananda used to call us mustached babies, that's all. Our understanding has not grown at all. Anyway, what is the point we are talking here? Sri Ramakrishna says, the only doer is only God. And whatever God does, it is for the good of everybody. And what is sadhana? To reach this unshakable faith, which transforms, which alone can transform our entire character, that everything is the will of God. It is by the will of God everything happens. And I don't know where from Sri Ramakrishna got. He had heard thousands and thousands of people, wandering monks, etc. And whatever good things he hears, he keeps it in his mind better than even AI. And there are no hallucinations in Sri Ramakrishna. So, all of us definitely would remember the story of the everything is the will of Rama, the weaver. So, many times I expanded on that topic. We have to meditate upon that. Even example Sri Ramakrishna gives. Supposing the weaver was told by the magistrate, I do not know whether your Rama exists or not, whether it is his will or not, because only a person who knows God exists can accept the will of God. We don't know what God's will is. So, what is, supposing the magistrate says, I am going to put you in jail for 6 years. Why 6 years? Could be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, or we are going to shoot you down. People have been shot down for far less. But the magistrate said that I am going to release you. You are a good man. Did this statement of the magistrate make this person, weaver, proud? Oh, even the magistrate recognizes. Recently, I read a beautiful, small wisdom story. There was a saint and he was well known for his great qualities and he was generous. He was forgiving and he is extraordinarily forbearing and he never proclaims his own glory. He is the most humble person. Everything. So, he heard it, but his face was glum. Then his wife asked, "Are you not happy? People had recognized your saintliness. They are very, very, what is called, all praise for you." This is a funny story. The saint, he was glum. He replied to his wife, "But what about my modesty? Nobody had ever mentioned my modesty. He is getting offended. Why my modesty? What is my modesty? I never exhibit myself. But if others voluntarily come and say, 'Oh, what a great person, what a tremendous modesty,' then inside he would be very happy. Is it a characteristic of a saint, a man of God?" That's why Sri Ramakrishna, as a remedy, a light to understand these difficult passages, they look very innocent, simple, but very difficult. So there are devotees who should adopt only one bhava, not the attitude of a young one of a monkey, but the young one of a cat, kitten. And Sri Ramakrishna gives beautiful description. A mother cat may put the baby, her baby, on rubbish heap, and some other time she would put the kitten on the bed of the masters. So wherever the kitten is put, it doesn't even think, "My mother is there, she is looking after me, and that's it." The very remembrance, "My mother is there and she is looking after. If I have any problem, all that I need to do is mew." And immediately, wherever she is, she comes running. So a person becomes a jivanmukta, liberated in life. If that person develops slowly that attitude, what attitude? Naham, naham, tuhu, tuhu. Everything happens by your will. If someone is cutting my throat, that is also good. I may not understand it, but it is very good, because it is my mother who is allowing somebody to do this horrible job. That was what Christ understood. That was what Sri Ramakrishna understood. That was what Buddha had understood. When we examine the lives of the greatest avatars, how they died, under what circumstances they died, if we study the life of Sri Krishna, it is even more marvelous. He knew his end was coming, and he advised, he gave marvelous teachings to Uddhava, and then he went himself. He called Balarama and said, "You give up your body, let us monachalo nijaniketane, let us return to our own dhamma, that is our abode." And then he himself, he knew, I also have to give up this body. But it is, I had already willed that a hunter will discharge an arrow, it will strike my sole of my foot, and that is how the prana has to depart. And exactly he covered himself, and then a hunter came and he mistook. So a deer's foot. Sri Krishna can do any magic. So he must have been very glad. But fortunately, he was a devotee of Krishna. He knew Krishna. So it discharged the arrow and came there to collect his prize. And then found Krishna Bhagavan, his own Ishtadevata. And then he started weeping, "Oh Lord, what have I done?" Krishna assured him, "It is not you who did it. It is my will by which you are made to do it. And because you are helping me, then you will get the highest position. That is to say, you will be liberated." That is what we have to understand. Because if a medium rich man loves somebody, if he gives something, he has limitations. That much only he can give. So if a music master had to teach somebody, he would only teach, yes, he had music, knowledge of music, and he would teach anybody only what he knew. So the point is, whatever we have, that alone we can give. Any moral person trying to teach morality to other people, it is not going to succeed. On the other hand, it will create disgust. Other people never look at what we are saying. We think there are people who are listening to us. Nobody listens to us. Only they listen to themselves. They look at this person. Is he moral or immoral himself? And that is the judgment. Everybody will be there. That is why Sri Ramakrishna's favorite saying, Swayam Achari. First, a person has to practice himself. Then, if God wills, he can teach it to others. And Sri Ramakrishna, throughout his life, that's what he practiced. Then Sri Ramakrishna is continuing. Where is man's free will? All are under the will of God. Because, why is it? Because there are no all. There is nobody. Me, you, an insect, a tree, or an animal. Nothing exists. Everything is the manifestation of God. He is playing with himself. There is a very beautiful song in Bengali, and you can hear it. I do not recollect it exactly. Khelicho, a brahmandali something, anamone, like a small baby, sitting on the banks of a river, taking the sand, and then making chasms, breaking them, like that. There is no purpose. It's such a beautiful song. Why did God create? Where was the need for God to create? That is answered by this great poet. Anamone means it is his joy, that's all. He is not thinking, this serves some purpose, so I have to build it. A child just plays, as easily it kicks it, the sand chasms, and whatever we are doing, that is exactly what we are doing, because when knowledge dawns in our minds, we understand, really, we are infinite. There is nothing lacking in me. I am Purna. This entire universe is also infinite. Every object is only a reflection of Sat, Chit, Ananda. So, creation is, that is what is called Leela. Leela means Anamone. So, Virat Shishu is like a huge baby, and he is alone, and he is taking this some raw material, and he is playing, and some wonderful singers, one of the singers was Anoop Jalota. Khelicho e bishalo e anamone, godicho bhangcho. You are making, you are also unmaking. That is how the song goes. The idea is, there is no purpose, there is no plan, no project, just an expression of joy. Srishti is an expression of joy. Sthiti is an expression of joy. Laya is also an expression of joy. It is only from one state of joy to another state of joy. That's all. There, everything, all borderlines, completely becomes completely obliterated. Sri Ramakrishna is continuing. There is no man. Therefore, the question of a man having free will doesn't arise at all. All are under the will of God. Nangta was a man of great knowledge. Yet even he was about to drown himself in the Ganges. This is a well-known, very famous incident. I'm very fond of quoting this one. Why am I so fond of quoting this incident? Definitely, Totapuri Maharaj. So, Sri Ramakrishna used to call him, Nangta means naked. There are sadhus, and especially whenever the festival of Kumbh Mela, you will see thousands and thousands of them, completely naked. But they are not free like babies. It is only a pretense. There might be one or two people who do not possess body consciousness. Most of the other people highly conscious of their body. So Nangta means naked. Nangta was a man of great knowledge. Sri Ramakrishna, so notice, you have to understand, he keenly observed, and then he had some pain in his stomach, and he could not meditate. This is the exceedingly strange behavior. A person who has once experienced Nirvikalpa Samadhi, for him, this to detach oneself from the body and from the mind. Why go to such an extent? Huge operations are performed under the effect of the anesthesia. Even if a very rough-edged saw is taken, I have myself seen with my own eyes, one young man, when I was in Haridwar, in our center in Kankhal, so one young doctor came, one young man, he was repairing or doing painting something, so he had to climb a ladder, he fell down, and then he broke one of his legs, probably right leg. He was brought in great pain. His doctor had no option, at least that was what he thought, I don't know. So he had, I was witnessing as an assistant. Anybody who joins, they immediately become assistants even in these operations and after the operation. So I was seeing a surgical saw. It was washed with Dettol, etc. And they just cut off. Within 5 minutes, bone, everything was cut off, and sutures were done, and then he lost. I don't know what happened afterwards, but what is the point I'm telling? Even an ordinary, what is called medicine, can make a person completely oblivious of the body. And when we are in the deep sleep state, we are also oblivious not only of the physical body, of the mind also. How come a man of supreme knowledge cannot detach himself? A person who is incapable of detaching his mind from anything that he knows. That is the whole process, meaning of neti neti, is not merely saying, is complete detachment. As an example, we can see Ramana Maharshi, his hand to be operated. He had developed a carbuncle, it was a cancerous growth, and he had to be operated, the whole hand to be removed, because the cancer was spreading and growing. But Maharshi did not allow it, but it was very painful. So at the first stage, the doctors decided to remove that growth. So they wanted to, because it was extremely painful to the touch. But Ramana Maharshi smiled and said, "Don't worry, you just carry on. I will withdraw my mind." And that's what he did. And the doctors were astonished, as if he was not being operated upon. Same thing happened to Swami Turiyanandaji. He could withdraw his mind. Now how come that Totapuri could not withdraw his mind? Because it was mother's will. It was mother's will that he should stay with Sri Ramakrishna for 11 months to learn that by whose will he had the desire to become spiritual, by whose will he obtained a guru, by whose will he was trained by the guru, by whose will he was progressing. And he was progressing because the Divine Mother, out of her compassion, was removing every obstacle. What are the obstacles? Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya. Are these the only obstacles? No. Even daivi sampat, ahimsa, samata, tushti, etc. All these things have to be first get rid of the negative impressions, qualities. Then that can be done only by replacing them with divine qualities. Pratipaksha bhavanam. But even these divine qualities should not be there, because anything qualified will be only qualified, and qualification is a limitation. Every qualification is a limitation. This is a profound Vedantic principle. Supposing something, milk is white, and that whiteness is the very quality of the milk. As Sri Ramakrishna gives this example many times, but our point here is separate. Here, the milk is limited by the whiteness. Why can't it be yellow, green, reddish, or any other blessed color? Why can't? Because it cannot change. So, there are some who are born black. They can't change their skin color. So these are points we have to remember. Every quality. Here is a sweet mango. And that sweetness is a quality. And it cannot get rid of it because that is its nature. Nature cannot be gotten rid of. But that very sweetness is a quality. And that quality, why can't it be bitter? Why can't it be a combination of sweet and sour, khatta meeta, which Holy Mother preferred to sweeter mangoes? So, we have to understand, when Sat Chit Ananda is covered with limitations called qualities, it loses its memory of what it is. Sat Chit Ananda is infinity. Sat Chit Ananda with names, forms and qualities is called creation, and that is called bondage. So every quality limits every object only to that particular quality, or something can have more than one quality. For that, the famous example that is given is Neelam Utpalam Sugandhi. So there is a blue lotus or lily, maybe lily. It is a blue color. It is huge and it is also fragrant. So these are the qualities. And what is a quality for? It is to identify a particular object, separating it from everything else in this universe. But what is universality? Removing all these limitations. All the limitations, according to Advaita, have been clubbed under three: time, space, and object. Desha paricheda, kala paricheda, vastu paricheda. So, Divine Mother wanted to teach a lesson. It is God's will that you attain Nirvikalpa Samadhi. It is God's will, Mother's will, that you have to fall down from that state and then identify with the body. Who feels the pain? Only one who identifies with the body. So, Nanta could not tolerate, but he could not understand it. That's why I am repeating this story so much. If such great people can fall under the delusion that I attained everything all by myself, what to speak of Kuchka people, small people like us. So, we get offended if somebody speaks very nicely, even though we know we do not deserve it, we fall under the trap, our face starts blooming into a bigger smile, and the opposite happens when the words are harsh. We are not looking for truth. We are looking for pleasing. How can I please myself? How can I reduce my displeasure? That is why we have been studying in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Nobody loves anybody. Everybody loves only the Atman, because Atman is the only source of bliss. So, Sri Ramakrishna's beautiful description, and look, we don't get this in the Lila Prasanga, the great master. Only in the Gospel we get. According to Lila Prasanga, he, the Nangta Tathapuri, when wanted, decided to commit suicide. So, who decided to commit suicide? Is it Nangta's will? Or is it the Divine Mother's will? Had it been the Divine Mother's will, do you think he would have survived? Do you mean to say if Mother wants to kill him, is it necessary for Nangta to walk into the Ganges? Can he not die right under the tree at that very instance by the mere will of Mother? But Mother, out of her infinite love, love and grace and joy and memory and concentration. These are all synonymous words. So she wanted out of her grace to remove the last obstacle. What is that? Naham, naham, tuhu, tuhu. So we know the story. So there was not water. We have to understand that also. So if you were also trying to cross Ganges that day, that same time, as Nangta was traveling, do you think that you will not feel the water? Or was he only feeling? Only he was feeling as if there was no water. And then he walked to the other side, and then the mother revealed Why did she reveal? Could she not have revealed on this side? Why did she reveal on the other side? Because by that time, probably he was purified by the touch of Ganga. It's all the grace and will of the Divine Mother. Then he was wondering, Kya Daivi Maya Hai? What divine Maya? Now for the first time, he is realizing there is something called divine Maya and one cannot overcome it. One can only pray to Daivi Maya, Mother, please reveal to me the truth. Do not hide the truth from me. And Mother, that must have taken place in Totapuri's mind before reception. And she revealed everything. It is because of my grace you were born. Because of my grace you obtained the Guru. Because of my grace you progressed without any obstacles. It is because of my grace you attained Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Again, it is because of my grace that you forgot that it is my grace. But now, this is the final realization. Bondage is my will. Liberation is my will. Happiness is my will. Suffering is also my will. Everything is my will. This is the goal towards which all of us have to travel. So Sri Ramakrishna is telling, Nanta was a man of great knowledge, yet even he was about to drown himself in the Ganges. He stayed there, here, 11 months. At one time, he suffered from the stomach trouble. The excruciating pain made him lose control over himself and he wanted to drown himself in the river. Now, remember, Sri Ramakrishna had even more excruciating pain, not for a short time, for almost 1 year. Did he ever think, well, let me drown myself in the Ganges? No. He always said, even when other people complained, devotees complained, he said, it is Mother's will. I have no separate will from Mother. So, that is the difference between this Jagadguru. So, he wanted to drown himself in the river. There was a long shoal near the bathing ghat. However far he went into the river, he could not find water above his knees. Then he understood everything and came back. Of course, Sri Ramakrishna cut short what happened later on. Some of those details we get in the Great Master. So, that is what was the topic Sri Ramakrishna had risen. We do not have our own separate individual will. Shakali tomari ichha, ichha mai tara tumi. Tomar karma tumi koroma, loke bole koriyami. That song expresses what Sri Ramakrishna is teaching so beautifully. Not only Sri Ramakrishna speaks, he expresses these great ideas through bhajans. When he used to sing, it is not like hearing a sweet musician trying to sing beautifully. It is a talent. But Sri Ramakrishna was not exhibiting his talent. He was trying to arouse that spiritual feeling within himself. Because very often it is found when he was singing a particular song and every particular song has its own special meaning and that meaning used to express itself in the very personality of Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna is continuing. At one time I was very ill and was about to cut my throat with a knife. Therefore I say, O Mother, I am the machine and thou art the operator. I am the chariot and thou art the driver. I move as thou movest me. I do as thou makest me do. Now, something very interesting here. Sri Ramakrishna had suffered a lot. And then in this connection, somewhere else he says, that is, we are all like goats. You know, in Bengal, whenever Durga Puja, Kali Puja, Jagadhatri Puja were done, goats are offered. Bali, we call it, sacrificed. And it is a common thing that what is the justification? Justification is man wants to eat meat. But some people, they say, I will just kill, cook and eat. But Hindus, they say, even Muslims, they have to, they call it halal, offer prasada. to God. Then only it becomes sacred. So Hindus have, they offer it to God, Divine Mother especially. So this is what Hindus want to do. Let the animal be blessed also. That means the person is aware that this is an animal and I am going to kill it for my own pleasure, but I cannot resist my desire. But at least I can pray for this animal. I am grateful that you are dying. Africans do the same thing. They kill animals, but they pray. Your spirit is great because of which you have become meal for me, but may you attain higher worlds by this sacrifice of yours. People somehow, wherever they are born, literate or illiterate, they have the idea that life is sacred and to take away life is a heinous crime. But when one cannot resist it, one has to simply, you'll have to pray, okay, at least let me offer it to God and do this. So, Sri Ramakrishna is quoting that song, Shakali Tomari Icha, I am the machine and you are the operator, I am the chariot and you are the driver. I move as thou movest me, I do as thou makest me do. The same idea we find in Upanishadic language, especially in the Katha Upanishad. Atmanam Rathinam Vidhi, Shariram Rathamevatu, etc. So when we did Katha Upanishad class, we know what we have done. So with this, Sri Ramakrishna stopped his teaching for some time. There were perhaps many devotees in the room. Devotees sang kirtan in the master's room. Dwell, O Lord, O lover of bhakti, in the Vrindavan of my heart, and my devotion unto thee will be thy ratha, dearly loved. My body will be Nanda's home. My tenderness will be Yashoda. My longing for deliverance will be thy gentle gopi maids. Lift the govardhan of my sin and slay my six unyielding passions, fierce as the demons sent by Kamsa. Sweet, that is the song. What a beautiful transformation of the life of Krishna in the form of this one. We have to enjoy. The devotees of Sri Ramakrishna have to develop. You should not feel like moving. Oh, this is okay. I read many times. Let me move further. The purpose of this Kathamrita, every word is a Katha. And every word should yield that Amrita. I don't want to move forward. Sri Ramakrishna expresses this in a beautiful way. When a devotee first starts singing, a devotee is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is my Nimai, is like a mad elephant. It dances like that. So my Hathi, Nimai Amar Hathi, then Nimai will be disappearing as the intensity of emotion grows. Then he can only utter Hathi, Hathi, and after some time he cannot even utter the complete word Ha, Ha, and then even that also stops, because the man becomes totally absorbed. And if we cannot enjoy every word of this, because so many times many people read it again and again and again, but whenever we read, we feel, oh, I have read it, I remember it, and then quickly pass over that passage and move on to the next passage. But that shows we are only looking for intellectual titillation, but not really bhakti. The whole purpose is to enjoy. That is why this enjoyment of this one is called parayana. So there is a peculiar word called parayana. Vishnu Sahasranama, Lalita Sahasranama, Shiva Sahasranama, etc. Once you have read, once you have understood the meanings, that is fine. Even if you don't understand the meaning, it means we are thinking of Shiva. All the 1000 names means any number of names. They are nothing but Lord Shiva only. As we are enjoying these names, the devotee goes into an ecstatic state, bhava, and he enjoys it. So every day he goes on singing the same Lalita Sahasranama. And some people do it several times. Many people read Chandi many times, every single day. The idea is enjoy remembrance of the Divine Mother, not what she did this, what she did that, and all those things. So devotees started singing as we saw it. So dwell, O lover of bhakti. God is a lover of bhakti. Ramakrishna used to say, when people have cows, etc., then they have to water them. So in the water, they mix something that is there, the powder, below the husk of rice, etc., and that is a little bit sweet, and it is also very nutritious. Unfortunately, we make it maida. That's why wholesome puri, that is more healthy than this luchi, etc. So Vivekananda used to say, Bengal had gone down because of this habit of eating luchis. Luchi, oil, and then this nutritious less, this maida. So here God loves bhakti. So when a devotee mixes everything that he does with bhakti, and like a cow which greatly longs to drink that taud which is to be mixed with water, so also God loves the bhakti of the devotee. A bhakta is nothing but bhakti personified, and every heart of a bhakta is a Vrindavana, and his devotion, his bhakti, is the beloved of Sri Krishna, Radha. And what is the body of the devotee? It is Nanda's home, because that is where Krishna will be living. And this body and mind have to be looked upon with greatest tenderness. How Mother Yashoda used to look upon her son, Krishna, those eyes, with what tenderness. Once Sri Ramakrishna had practiced this, what is called Vatsalya Bhakti. That is how parents love their children. There was a Ramlala, a small image of child Rama. And one great Jatadhari Sadhu, great realized soul, he left it with Sri Ramakrishna after realization. And very interesting story, this Jatadhari came to Dakshineswar, and he had with him a small, it doesn't matter whether it is small or big or whatever, and every day he used to collect the most delicious items, tidbits, bring it and offering it to his beloved Ramlala. But it was not an image, just as Sri Ramakrishna used to see the Divine Mother, so this Jatadhari used to see Ramlala completely. And Ramlala was very pleased. Unfortunately, that story, I think we will take up some other day, that Ramlala developed, Sri Ramakrishna observed this, and immediately his inner eye understood. This is not merely seeing an image. This sadhu is a progress to a great extent, Saguna Brahma Darshana, and he is feeding child Rama himself. And then he will go and sit watching. And Sri Ramakrishna had also the same vision of Ramlala as a living child by the grace of the Divine Mother. And then slowly this child started running after Sri Ramakrishna, not caring as if to his real bhakta, Jatadhari. Then what happened? Jatadhari got offended. From the beginning, you are running after people, running away from people who love you, and running to people who do not love you so much. That nature has not changed. How much trouble I take for you. And this new person had come, and immediately you shifted your allegiance to him. But then one day that sadhu was bestowed the grace of Rama, and then he understood. Happily, joyfully, he came to Sri Ramakrishna, presented the vigraha of Ramlala to Sri Ramakrishna, and said, Rama wants to be with you. I am leaving him with you. But what did the Jatadhari get? What did he get in return? He said, by the grace of Rama, I can see Rama universally, in everybody, in everything. Like Gopala's mother used to see Bhagavan Krishna in everybody. So it is not that Rama left him high and dry. Rama had given him, even he liberated him from that saguna brahmagnanam. Now nirguna brahmagnanam means what? Everywhere you will see the same Brahman. Sarvam kalvidam Brahma. Only he used the word Rama, that's all. And Sri Ramakrishna had accepted it gradually. But then, you know, our devotees, someone of them had stolen that Ramlala image after some time. But fortunately, Swami Sharadananda and others had seen that Ramlala, and he was really remarking, where is that smiling, tender child Rama, which Sri Ramakrishna used to see? We see only a basalt figure staring at us with lifeless eyes. But where is that devotion to be able to see? Where is that bhakti? So, the heart of the devotion will be Radha. That is why Radha and Krishna are inseparable, dearly loved. My body will be Nanda's home. My tenderness will be like Mother Yashoda. My longing for deliverance from these worldly bonds will be like the gopis longing to be ever united with Krishna. So, O Lord, lift the Govardhana hill of my sin and slay my 6 unyielding passions, fierce as the demons sent by Kamsa. And that is the, I don't know who was the author, but so beautifully he had brought many of the songs. Some of these poetic comparisons, they are incalculable. How much God's grace was there. Even God's grace is necessary even to do this. So then another song had come. Sweetly play the flute of thy grace, charming the milch cow of my mind, abide in the pasture of my soul, dwell by the Jamuna of my yearning, under the banyan of my hope, forever gracious to thy servant. And if not but the cowherd's love can hold thee in Vrindavana's veil, then Lord, let Dasharadi, he the author, to become thy cowherd and thy slave. And again, song after song, sing, O bird that nestles deep within my heart, sing, O bird that sits on the kalpa tree of Brahman, sing God's everlasting glory. Taste, O bird, of the 4 fruits of the kalpa tree, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Sing, O bird, he alone is the comfort of my soul. Sing, O bird, he alone is my life's enduring joy. O the wondrous bird of my life, sing aloud in my heart. Unceasingly sing, O bird, sing forevermore, even as the thirsty chatak sings for the raindrop from the cloud. Such beautiful songs are there. How much the devotees must have been transformed by this great, wonderful presence of Sri Ramakrishna, emanating the bhakti. We have to remember, we have to imagine that after either he was singing, or he was joining the devotees, or he was semi-conscious, but whatever were the sentiments expressed in the bhajans, are being reflected in the very body and mind of Sri Ramakrishna, and the devotees could feel every vibration of that bhakti, how much they have been uplifted. This is called true cultivation of satsanga. Many beautiful things are there, and we will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhurmuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.